Chapter 3. She wakes, feeling wholly disoriented to the sound of Beth getting up early for breakfast. And it takes Arya a second to realize where she is and what day it is, while the memory of her dream comes flooding back to her. Because, gods, he'd kissed her so thoroughly, she'd thought she would die from it. And his hands skating over the skin of her thighs, fingers rubbing her nipples while his groin rubbed against hers. She'd never had a sexy dream before. Not once. Obella said they were fun, especially with soulmates. But she and her soulmate had never had a sexy dream. What was she doing having a sexy dream about? She flushes. She doesn't want to think about him at all. Doesn't in the slightest. Because if she even thinks his name, she'll think of his muscles. How good his ass felt in her hands as she held him. How his stomach rippled and his arms bulged as he held himself over her and... Fuck. She won't be able to look Gendry in the face at all, will she? She groans and buries her face in her pillow. And what will she say to her soulmate? Sorry, I can't see your face, but I've been having sex dreams about my best friend lately, so sorry? She groans again. You okay there? Sansa asks, from where she's curled up on some cushions on the floor, looking at Arya through a hooded eye. Just a dream, Arya says. What about? But she just shakes her head because she can't say it out loud, especially not to Sansa. If she says it aloud, it's real. Instead, she asks, Did you sleep okay? Sansa nods. I dreamed with Ned. She sounds relieved, and Arya feels a flicker of annoyance. How was that? She asks carefully. It was good. We were by the sea down south, and he showed me around where he and his aunt used to play Rock Kings. Rock Kings? Sansa smiles and shrugs. I have no idea. How was he? Arya asks. Sansa frowns slightly. He's still angry. He's upset. It's... I don't know. I don't think there's anything I can do about it. She's blinking furiously, and she looks close to tears. Except to keep on... I don't know. I can't pick who I dream with. If I could, it would be easy, and I could divide my time between them and make it so that neither of them feel neglected. But I can't. I don't know how to do that. And Sandor, he had a lot of trouble last week, and he needed me. But if I said... Gods, jealousy isn't supposed to happen. It isn't fair. She's really crying now. Great streams of water pouring down her face, and Arya wants to go to her. But sometimes Sansa doesn't like it when she goes in for a hug when she's distressed. Sometimes Sansa shoves her away. So she clutches at her knees instead and watches Sansa closely. And gods, it's not like I can break up with either of them, Sansa says, and she reaches for Arya's desk and a box of tissues. I mean, what good does that do? When they're there when I sleep. And Sandor's jealous that Ned and I live together, and Ned's jealous that I've dreamed with Sandor for longer. And what am I supposed to do? I can't just sit them down and make them work out an amicable solution. Can't you, though? Arya asks. Sansa stiffens. What? No. No, I can't. I can only dream with one of them at a time. My soulmate... Arya begins. Then she blushes because, gods, she'd wanted to dream with him last night. Maybe he'd been out. Sometimes they don't dream together on weekends. But that had just meant she'd dreamed of Gendry and his hands and fuck. My soulmate says that we each pick settings and that, I don't know, maybe you could figure out a way to get both of them in a dream together and, I don't know, make them figure something out. Because it's ripping you apart, and neither of them want that, I'm sure. They just need to grow up and stop being babies, and I don't know, maybe this is all stupid. Sansa is frowning still and dabbing at her eyes with the tissues, but her eyes are thoughtful. Is that something he got from Dream Psych, your soulmate? Yeah, says Arya, scrunching her forehead and trying to remember the dream. I think so. Sansa looks thoughtful. Then maybe I can talk about it with a counselor. See if, I don't know. I think we've established that we neither of us know, says Arya. Sansa rolls her eyes at her. Trust you to come up with something I never would have dreamed of. Arya sighs. That's what I'm here for. You've always been shit at thinking outside the box. Hey, Sansa says, throwing a pillow at Arya. Arya blows her a kiss, then burrows back down into her bed, pretending to go to sleep. They host Storm's End the following weekend, and they lose spectacularly. Storm's End is at the top of the league and has been for years, and even listening to their chants of, "Ours is the Fury! Ours is the Fury! Ours is the Fury!" makes Arya want to gag. The boys pull an upset and win, though. Arya can tell they're winning because their field is full of chants of spooky, spooky, ow! Spooky, spooky, ow! And she grins, imagining Gendry and Ned and Jack and the rest jumping around and shouting support for their teammates on base. Joy is not pleased that they lost. Not at all. She stares at the rankings while the rest of them shower and change, calculating and recalculating exactly how many games they'll have to win or lose to make the league playoffs. We have 8 games left before playoffs, Joy announces at the next practice. 4 here, 4 away. And I know you all have put in a good season so far. We've done pretty well, all things considered. She does not bring up her sprained knee that kept her off the field for a game, or the loss they just suffered. And I know we're going to place. I know it. We need to win 7 of the 8, and I know we can do it. We are tied right now with both Lannis U and White Harbor. Casterly Rock put in a good start to the season, but has slowly been dropping in the ranks. And Winterfell is... She glances at Arya, who keeps her face as neutral as possible. Winterfell is Winterfell, Joy continues diplomatically. So let's do this thing, all right? Let's win these games and get to Nationals. We can do it this year. I can feel it. They say that every year, sighs Elia, as Arya walks with her and Lyanna towards Central Campus. We still haven't gotten there. I mean, she can't very well say that she doesn't think we can she? Points out Lyanna. Even if it's true, Lannis U is really good this year. I do not look forward to playing them. Thanks, Arya says dryly. Are you pitching at Lannisport? Lyanna asks. Yeah. Oh, good luck then. Arya snorts. Do you think we can make it? She asks after a brief moment of silence. Lyanna is older than she is, and it's her last year. Lyanna looks up at the sky, considering. Well, we could. I'm not counting on it, but we could. No one's expecting us to. Not even Joy, so I don't know. It's not like Harrenhal has placed in 15 years or anything. So if we break that streak, it's a good thing. When Arya turns away from them and heads back to her dorm, she decides that they're going to win. They're going to. She's going to make them. You look grumpy today, she says, as he throws the ball at her, his arm making a graceful arc over his shoulder. He's slouching, for one, always a bad sign, and his eyes are drawn together in one dark line. And, to really put the cherry on top, his frown isn't a passive neutral one at all. The corners of his mouth are actively drawn down towards his chin. According to you, I always look grumpy. Gendry responds grumpily, his frown deepening. Yeah, well, you look particularly grumpy today, she says lightly, and the ball goes back to him. He doesn't say anything, but he doesn't throw the ball back to her. He pops it back and forth from his hand to his glove, staring at it as though afraid that if he misses one of the catches, the world will fall apart. Then he flicks the ball to her, and she starts forward to catch it. Just things on my mind, he says. Really? She mutters. I hadn't noticed. Look, you're not privy to every tiny detail that goes on in my head, okay? He snaps, blushing slightly. Yeah, and you're not to mine either. But we're friends, Gendry. Do friends have to tell each other everything? He demands. His words sting, and she feels her arms drop to her sides, as though they're made of lead. No, she says at last. No, they don't. She passes the ball back to him, then turns around and marches towards the tree where she ditched her bag and swings it over her shoulder. She doesn't say goodbye. She doesn't have to. Her tone does. She's not sure why it hurts so much, Gendry not telling her. It's not like he's her soulmate or anything, but still, she's come to expect him telling her whatever goes on in his mind. It's usually not much, but if she asks, he tells. He's honest with her, and that's how she likes it. So whatever it is that's making him, he's just being stupid. Gendry's always stupid. Everyone knows that. I better not fucking dream of him tonight, she thinks to herself. I better see my soulmate. Something simple, uncomplicated. That makes her frown even more. Her soulmate is uncomplicated. That much is true. They get on well, but she still can't see his face. Couldn't even guess what color his eyes are. And that, in itself, makes him more complicated than he should be. In comparison, Gendry is the easiest thing in the world. Gendry is her friend. Gendry is supposed to be the one who is straightforward and exactly what she expects. And now, since when is her soulmate less complicated than Gendry? She just had to go and dream of him. It was probably the tequila and Sansa being upset and making her wish she had someone to hold in her arms and hugging him and feeling the way his chest pressed against her breasts. She wished for that sometimes. Not anyone concrete. Not like Gendry, but she wonders what would happen if she hugged her soulmate in her dreams. If she held him close to her and pulled his blurry face down to kiss her. She'd probably miss his lips and embarrass herself. It's not a thought that improves anything. She throws the ball and it whizzes past him on the first pitch. You didn't even swing, she shouts at him. Yeah, sorry. He shakes himself, picks up the ball and knocks it back to her. She pitches it again and he knocks it so far it'll probably be an Astapor before it lands. He begins walking around the bases. What's on your mind? She asks. How do you know something's on my mind? Call me psychic, she says dryly. You still can't see my face, can you? He asks. No, she says, and she feels a shiver run up her spine. Thought not. Look, I don't know why, and I didn't mean to get in your face about it, he says quickly. Never mind. Never mind what? Just never mind, all right? What, do you think it's because I don't want to? She demands. Or because I'm afraid to? I don't know why it might be, he says slowly. I just thought maybe it changed. We haven't dreamed together in a while, and yeah. They hadn't dreamed together since before the weekend, before she dreamed of Gendry and his lips and his hands. She blushes and looks down at the mound, kicking at the dirt with her cleats. No, she says. Nothing's changed. Her voice sounds hollow to her own ears. Nothing at all. Even if Gendry is still being surly, they sit together on the train out west to Lannisport the following day. And somewhere between Harrenhal and Riverrun, his frown gets so deep that she seriously considers going and finding Elia and Lyanna, because even the ridiculously public way they curl around one another is more bearable than Gendry staring out the window and pointedly ignoring her. "Trouble in paradise?" asks Tom as he passes them on his way to the diner car. Arya starts and stares up at Tom with wide eyes, and it takes her a moment to realize he's just talking about how Gendry's got his back to her. And not that she's... No, none of them would know she'd had that kind of dream about Gendry. "Shut up, Tom," growls Gendry. "He's just being pissy for no reason," Arya says. "It's not no reason," Gendry snaps, whipping around to glare at her.
"It is,"
she retorts.
"It's not. What is it then?"
she demands. He opens his mouth, but no sound comes out.
"See? Nothing. No reason."
"That's false logic. Just because you don't have evidence doesn't mean it's not true."
"Yeah, and just because you aren't telling me doesn't mean it's a good reason."
"A good reason and a reason are two completely different things." His eyes are so bright, so blue, so fierce, and Arya can feel her pulse rising because the last time he'd... No, that hadn't been him. That had been a dream, and he'd looked at her that intensely because his fingers were on her clit, and she was calling out his name.
"I think," Tom says slowly, "that I'm right, actually, and that there's trouble in paradise."
And he extracts himself quickly, muttering to himself under his breath about things that Arya can't hear.
"If you just tell me," she tries, but Gendry turns away from her.
"Leave it, Arya. I don't shut you out when big things are happening," she snaps at him.
"Oh, yeah?"
She's never heard him sound so bitter and angry. Not with her. Not ever. And it hurts. Even worse than when they'd been playing catch.
"Yeah,"
she says, as emphatically as she can. He doesn't say anything at all, just shrugs and ignores her. And she glares at his back, wishing she didn't have to think about what it looked like without the t-shirt. She gets to her feet, stretching and easing out of the seat.
"Where are you going?"
he asks.
"Well, if you were going to be a dickhead, I don't see any reason to stick around."
And she goes and makes her way down the carriage, as far away as she can get and still be in the same car as the rest of the team, curling up into a ball and staring at the window. She makes her way up the train and finds Jack and Dick in the aisle near Myrcella and Shireen, the four of them chatting happily.
"You know, it wouldn't be so bad if the whole fucking rowing team didn't destroy the house,"
Shireen sighs.
"But that's what I get, I guess, living with Devon."
"Couldn't you, honey, take your friends elsewhere, him?"
Dick teases, and Myrcella's face breaks into a grin, even as Shireen rolls her eyes.
"You tried telling Devon not to do something. It's ridiculous. He gets these horrible puppy dog eyes that he learned because he's on the young end of seven children. It's irresistible. Honestly, I should just tell him, I don't know,
that you hate his friends,"
Myrcella suggests, and the boys laugh.
"I don't hate his friends. I just don't want them in my house. I can't think of a lie good enough for it."
Arya grits her teeth for a moment, and it isn't until Dick says,
"You could tell him you fancy one of his teammates and see what he does,"
before she says loudly, "You shouldn't lie, Shireen, especially not to your soulmate." The four of them turn to her, and Jack's jaw drops slightly. Good. She wants them to stare at her. She wants them to listen. She wonders if any of them have ever thought at all about what a lie can do, what harm it can cause. Sometimes lies are for the better, but they can create such a horrible knot of dishonesty and pain and cruelty And Arya should know. Sansa had lied all the time growing up, and it had only ever ended in tears for the both of them. It's not a, you're planning on lying to him? Shireen rolls her eyes. Look, it's not like that. Stay out of it, will you? Don't be a liar. You're better than that. Arya snaps, and she continues down the train until she finds an empty seat near the front of the car, well away from everyone. She stews for a good long while, hoping that Shireen won't lie to Devon, because then she'll have to get really mad at Shireen, and wondering why Gendry is being stupid. She's surprised when Gendry comes and sits next to her. Oh, piss off, she mutters to him, doing what he did and turning to stare out of the window. That's how she realizes she's drifted off to sleep, because the grass is a bizarre burgundy color, and there are mountains falling out of the sky. Slowly, she turns to look at Gendry, and he's not wearing anything at all. Not even underwear, and gods, his cock can't really be that big, can it? Surely that's part of the dream. He wraps his arms around her and pulls her onto his lap, kissing her ear and whispering, I'm sorry. Don't do that, she mumbles into his neck. Do what? He asks. That. That's helpful, he says dryly, but his arms tighten around her and his fingers are tracing circles into her back through her sweatshirt, and she sighs and closes her eyes and sinks into the smell of his pine deodorant and the softness of his skin and the warmth of his hands as they dip under the waistband of her jeans to cup her ass, and she moans a little into his neck. When they get off the train in Lannisport, Arya is more than a little confused and a lot horny, because in her dream, Gendry had gotten her fully undressed and had just crouched between her legs and was kissing his way up her thighs when Weasel had come by to ask her for advice on her fastball. Arya had hardly been able to think straight, but she also felt bad just shaking Weasel off and had spent the next 2 hours talking about softball and thinking about Gendry and his hands and his lips and fuck. She knows the coaches are hoping that they'll hole up in their rooms and watch TV or sleep or whatever, since they have 2 games over the weekend. And Arya feels a little guilty when she tells Sirio that she doesn't know how she's going to spend the evening, because she does know how she's going to spend the evening. Myrcella's from the area, and she has already convinced half the team to go out to a good Mirish restaurant that her mother used to take her to a lot growing up. And then they're going to go clubbing, because Harrenhal isn't even a little bit close to good clubs. There's only the one shitty one that's too run down to be really fun, because you're always scared that the ceiling's going to fall on your head. Arya puts on the highest heels she owns and wears the shortest skirt she can find and a tank top because it's warm by the seas. Whatever these southerners say. She looks hot. She really does. Not the way that Sansa does. Some sort of classic beauty that should be painted or worshipped. She looks like she could push you up against a wall and fuck you senseless. And tonight, that's what she wants. She wants that attention. She wants strangers to stare at her and think she's the most incredible person they've ever seen. And it wouldn't hurt if she took Gendry by surprise, too. Especially after that fucking dream and the way his eyes had gone dark when he'd sunk down between her legs. Looping her arms through Myrcella's and Weasel's, they strut into downtown Lannisport, laughing amongst themselves happily whenever someone's eyes follow them. She doesn't let herself drink over dinner and won't for the rest of the night. She's pitching tomorrow against Lannisport, and after the trip out, if she drinks, she'll drink herself down the drain. So she sticks to water, while Myrcella's face gets redder and redder. She ignores most of the table, though. Gendry's down at the other end, and he's not looking surly. And that almost makes Arya angry, because what the fuck's his problem anyway? He barely looks at her. Barely looks at her through dinner and through their walk half a mile to the club that Myrcella suggests by the harbor. He just jokes around with Lem or Jack and doesn't seem to notice her skirt at all. And it takes her a moment to remember that Of course he wouldn't. They're just friends, and it was just a dream. He probably thinks she's just blowing off steam again, hoping to drag some local into the circle the two teams make on the dance floor. And she is, isn't she? And now she can't even look at him, even though they're dancing across from one another. But she also can't look away from him either, because what if he's started dancing with someone else? Obella, or some girl from Lennisport, or... is she jealous? Is she jealous? She stops moving all at once, and suddenly it's much too hot, and everyone dancing around them is only making it hotter as they throw their body heat into the room. Everything is dark and close, and what does she have to be jealous of? She has her soulmate. Gendry can do what he likes, when he likes, how he likes, and if he doesn't care what she thinks, well, what does that matter when she has her soulmate? But she is jealous. Jealous because right now all she wants to do is cross the circle, wrap her arms around him, and grind her hips up against his until her tiny skirt rides up and he either has to reach and tug it down or not. And she can't because they're friends, just friends, and he has his own soulmate who he'd have to go and explain this all to afterwards, and it's not fair to make him do that. He never talks about his soulmate, but he just doesn't talk about things sometimes. That's how he is. He probably talks to her, the one he dreams with. She probably knows everything there is to know about him. She probably knows more than Arya ever could. Knows about his mom and why he hates his dad so much. And Arya turns and pushes her way out of the circle. And through the crowd of dancers, because she can't stay there standing still and feeling horrible. But she also can't keep dancing. Not now. Not when she's jealous of someone she doesn't know. That person he dreams with and shares all of his secrets with. And who probably would laugh at her if she met her, because Gendry isn't Arya's. Gendry is hers. When she reaches the street, she shivers, because the sea breeze against the sweat on her skin is almost chilly. She reaches down and adjusts her skirt, then crosses her arms over her chest and begins marching back towards the hotel, breathing deeply when a moment later she hears someone calling her name. Arya? It's Ned, his shirt a little sweaty from the club, his hair a bit of a mess. Hey! Her voice doesn't sound like her own. Her voice never sounds that way. All cheerful and bright and Sansa-like. Oh, God, she sounds like Sansa. Surely that must mean she is about to lose it, because Sansa only ever sounded that bright on days when she was barely keeping it together. You heading back? Ned asks. Yeah, I was going to. Want to rest up. Pitching tomorrow. She never sounds so hearty, and it feels like she's wearing someone else's face. I'll walk with you. I have to phone Sansa. They walk in silence, listening to the sounds of the city, of drunken people talking too loudly, of music streaming out of open apartment windows, cars and buses rolling past. Arya crosses her arms over her chest, wishing her skirt weren't so short, and that she hadn't opted for a tank top, because finally it felt like springtime should feel, chilly enough to make you shiver. Worse still, that she'd just been sweating. You okay? Ned asks her. Fine, she says. Just fine. You don't look or sound it, so forgive me for not believing you, he says gently. If she weren't so whatever she was, she'd glare at him. But she is, so she can't. Instead, she just shakes her head. I'm just confused about things. It'll pass. Anything I can help with? He asks. It's soulmate stuff, she says. Well, then I'd say I'd recommend communication. He barks out a dry laugh. I'd really recommend that, actually. Ned, she asks slowly, how are things with Sansa? Well, we're talking about it, so that's good, he says. Counseling together, because shit's broken or whatever.
He sounds suddenly glum. I don't know how it got that way. For fuck's sake, 1 minute things were more perfect and then the next, I'm a shitbag. So yeah, counseling. It's getting better. But communication, all right? Just tell your soulmate what's on your mind. She gives him a hug before they get into the elevator. And when she reaches the room she's sharing with Weasel, she almost feels a little better. Almost. The field is empty when she gets there. Empty and dark, and she wills the stadium lights to turn on, but they don't. She goes into the dugout to find the balls, but can't. And she wonders what her soulmate did with them when they were last here. She walks back out to the pitcher's mound and sits down and waits, hoping he'll dream with her tonight. She remembers what John had said about how sometimes he goes to the places where he and Egret dream together and she's not there and it hurts. She wonders if that can happen even when her soulmate is alive. Her heart stops for a moment. She's never had to wait this long before, has she? For him to show up? What if something's happened to him? What if he's... She's being silly, and she knows it. It's a Friday night. He's probably out with friends or something. Sometimes they don't dream together on weekends. It's fine. All the same, there's never been a time when she's dreamed of this place on her own. But here she is, sitting cross-legged on the pitcher's mound, without even a breeze to blow through her hair. He drifts into existence by home plate and looks around, confused, and then walks out to the mound. "What's up?" he asks her. "I don't know," she says. "It was like this when I got here." She thinks he's frowning, even if she can't see his face. That's the hardest thing, that she can't even see his expressions. His silences are just that much more stressful when she can't see his face. "So then," he asks, sitting down next to her, "what's on your mind?"
"Who says something's on my mind?"
"Well," he looks around, "this is your space, isn't it? And you got here first, and it's all weird, so something's going on in your head. What is it?" She lies down on her back and looks up at the sky. It's speckled with stars, the way the sky above Winterfell was when she and Bran had climbed out onto the roof of their house to stare at the constellations. It's a thought that makes her sad. Is this going to upset her soulmate, the way that Jojen was upset when Bran told him about Meera? She begins, and swallows because her throat is suddenly dry. Her soulmate lies down next to her and looks up, too. Arya takes a deep breath. "I've been having dreams lately. Dreams that aren't with you." Is she imagining it, or did he stop breathing? "Oh?" "Yeah." "Yeah." Silence seems to span miles between them, and suddenly her heart is pounding in her chest, violently and in terror, and the words fall over themselves, trying to get out of her mouth. "I'm not dreaming with someone else, just of someone else. And that's different. It is. My sister dreams with two people, and it's not like that. It's not like that at all. It's just, it's confusing, and I feel weird, and I wanted to tell you because I can't really lie to you. Please don't hate me." He doesn't say a word, but he twists over on his side and faces her. And gods, it's so strange. Like someone just scratched a stag over a photograph and etched out someone's face. And if she weren't so used to it, she'd be scared. "You still can't see my face?" he asks her. "No," she says miserably. He reaches over and cradles her chin in his hand. "They're good dreams, though? The ones of..." His voice trails off. "Yeah, they're good. They're..." She blushes and looks away from him. "Really good." "Should I be jealous?" he asks seriously,
And she shakes her head. No, he's a friend. You're my soulmate. It's different. It's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just Randy or something. He laughs and lies back down. What's so funny? I couldn't even begin to explain it, he says. And for a moment, just for a moment, she thinks she can see the outline of his nose.